Previously on The Mortal Path.
Turns out it's some old Tundraska relic or something. He's looking to have that necklace, but he wants to keep it all on the down low, so he wants to do a swap.
Matt, what do you know about the dozen?
Why do you ask?
You got a letter to send, Matt.
Yeah, there's a few people I should probably let know that I'm back.
They wanted someone for the crime, but I don't know who would have killed her, and I don't know why they would have said it was me. She had some things going on in Sindarin. I know that her son was moving over there. There was some kind of... I don't know. She was worried one time because her son was getting involved in some gangs or something. And she kind of gestures to the paperwork and says, well, you can look whatever you like, of course.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Would we be able to come back and see it again? Because obviously we can't take it away with us.
No, I wouldn't like that. It must stay here. It's all very important. Yes, you may come back, but surely you brought some sort of notes or note paper upon which to make notes. You came prepared for this, didn't you? You knew what you were coming to see me for.
Well,
silently, Nat is going.
Yeah, duly noted.
Like a Hoover.
I do apologise, ma'am. It's just that I'm not sure that we'd necessarily be able to take all the notes that we absolutely need. But I'll start now. Nerium pats her pockets. For her pockets, which have a number of useful items in, and definitely not a paper and pen.
Do mine have a paper and pen? I just bought them. Did they come with a paper and pen?
Yeah, every single bit of clothing in Hopewell comes with a little bit of paper and a pen tucked into one of the pockets in case you need it.
Is that a joke?
Well done, you unlock this. No, it's canon. Every bit of clothing in Hopewell comes with a little bit of paper and a pen in it.
I will turn around and produce a pen and paper.
Okay, good. So, Taro, you have pen and paper, and as you are looking over these notes, she says, so, you were friends, of course, with Peleth, and therefore you also knew her at the Laughing Cat, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
And what do you know of this Avalier?
Well, he's not...
Rather too much.
A gentleman that I've had many dealings with. I wouldn't say that we were friendly.
I see. What sort of character is he?
Well, as I'm sure your ladyship would know, there are characters in the Low Lanes who are not always entirely acting above the law. And I think it would be fair to say that he may have some associations in that regard.
I see. And what do you think of Peleth's thoughts that he was one of the ones who set her up for this?
I don't know why exactly he would do that, since he did actually have a regular professional engagement with Peleth, which, so far as I am aware, was sufficiently satisfactory that it had been ongoing for a lengthy period of time.
I see. Well, Peleth has always been very candid with me about relationships that might have landed her in this trouble. She did mention a little bit about Avalier, but only that he had been actually much more pleasant to her than she was used to.
Yeah. That's odd. Pleasant isn't necessarily a word I would associate with him. I will say that much.
She starts to like shuffle through the papers and she starts pulling out little bits and pieces and she starts handing them to Taro, who she assumes is the one taking the notes, and she's like, these are the important documents. And so she hands you...
I pass them straight on to Mary.
No, I'm talking. I don't take them. I flap at your hand.
She passes you a portrait of a human man, It's relatively well done, and it has the little bit at the bottom that is written Alwyn Belver, and it is like a portrait that's not quite like a mugshot type portrait, but it's clearly like a sketch someone has done of like the closest likeness to what Alwyn would look like. So she passes you that, and she also passes
Sorry,
you...
Sorry, quick question. Who was Alwyn?
Alwyn is the son of Lady Belver.
And we don't know where he's gone, do we? Do we know where he is?
Yes. So you know that he went to Sindarin. So when the house burned down, the land was sold, hilariously apparently, to the council, which made everyone titter so about that. So the land was
council
sold...
Council housing in the upper circle.
It's not that kind of council. So it was sold to the city for developments, and he left for Sindarin. Peleth had also told you that Lady Belver said Alwyn had started getting mixed up in gang-related things in Sindarin.
Oh.
But she didn't really know a lot about that.
Was that before the fire?
Yes.
Yes, she didn't say anything about that after the fire because she was dead.
Yes, that's also very true.
That's the way it works, I guess. I could talk to dead people.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get out of those moments very often. Let me have them.
I can talk to dead people.
You can talk to dead people.
Just remembered.
So,
can you talk to piles of ash, though?
Well, you don't know if she was entirely incinerated. You know?
Oh, hell yeah, let's get that corpse! Grave robbery!
Taro, some of the papers that she hands out to you is the death certificate of Lady Belver and the subsequent kind of autopsy and what had happened with the body. And although her body was found charred and burned, it was the cause of death actually was inconclusive. They weren't able to tell if she had actually burned to death or if she had been dead before the fire started. And you do also note, as you are looking at that bit of paper, that there is an address again in the upper upper circle of a mausoleum in which she has been interred.
Sick.
Blood sugars now dust huffers.
Oh no I hate it.
I have to vape you in order to talk to your ghost.
Oh, I blew my levels with that. Vape with dead. That's hilarious and terrible.
Awful.
That's very terrible.
Very bad. Okay.
She taps the bit of paper that she's handed you, Tara, that has the portrait of Alwyn, and she says, "That's the son. He disappeared to Sindarin not very long after his mother passed away."
I see. What is my voice?
Is that my voice?
It was a posh old man.
Okay, it's the old man voice. Okay, I was like, oh, I don't know, is it Mario 2? I don't know, which voice is it? I see.
Where are you from, actually?
I said last week, and I need to check if I've written it down.
I hope you have, because I didn't listen in that much detail.
Oh, yes, I did. I come from Keppelkor Fault.
She says, I actually don't know where that is, but I suppose it's not Sindarin.
It most certainly is not.
I'm from Hopewell, your ladyship. I've lived here most of my life.
Yes, well, so have I, and I'm afraid that there's not very much I know about the gangs in Sindarin, although I have been making some outreach efforts. In fact, I do have a contact, and actually, if you are as committed to this cause as I am, I would appreciate a bit of your help.
Yes, absolutely.
You must understand that it's not easy for me to go into Hopewell as it is, especially with the high profile of myself and also those who know that I'm, of course, trying to help Peleth. So it's not easy for me to move around there.
Well, we might be the ideal agents to assist you in such a matter, your ladyship.
Yes. And, of course, I am happy to pay.
Oh, okay.
I see.
I would have no objection to that.
Well, of course not. Everyone else needs money, don't they?
Yeah, at the moment we kind of do. What is the name of your contact, please?
It's a gentleman who's come from Sindarin. I believe he lives now in a pub called... And she pulls out a piece of paper that's clearly her handwriting. And oh my god, it looks like printing press. It's gorgeous handwriting. Every letter is exactly the same as the previous, like, A before it. It looks like it has been printed, but it is clearly her handwriting.
When you say printing press, you mean like copperplate printing press. You don't mean she looks like she writes like a typewriter.
I don't fucking know. I don't know how books are made.
It's okay. Monospace font.
I don't know. I know a printing press came in. It changed the world. We got very excited about that, okay? It looks like it's printed.
But it also looks beautiful. Like it's handwritten.
Yeah.
Yes, you can tell it's handwritten.
By the way, all the letters printed. Look exactly the same.
It's hand-printed, like we did as children.
It's so uniform, it looks handwritten.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so
hey,
sorry.
Like, we love you. 12 minutes in, and, like, you're not giving me any peace, okay?
We're 12 years like, old.
Well,
communally.
Well, yeah, yeah, that tracks. Okay, so, it's beautiful handwriting, okay? So, any objections to that? No? Good. Okay. And I've forgotten what's on it. No, I haven't. It's her notes. It's her notes. And she checks it because she doesn't remember the name of the pub. So, she looks at it and she goes, he's staying in a pub that's called the Squeaking Cheese. I've never heard of it. I believe it's on the outskirts.
It's Halloumi.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah, it's run by Halloumi. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I see.
Halloumi Mint. Lovely gnome lady.
Yes.
Are we really doing this?
We are now. I've made a note. So, I didn't have a proprietor name ready, so now there is one. So.
Oh, good.
Go to hell.
Gary, let me Brie. Okay, so.
Oh, Brie, I get it.
Okay, so, she... She hands, again, Taro, you this note. She goes, his name is Neutral Jing. I've come into contact with him a couple of times over the years for help with this case. He's quite good at what he does, I believe. You can't miss him. He's a dragonborn with sort of rose gold scales and just one sort of horn that's broken off and the other that curves back. Sort of like ram's horns.
Neutral Jing, you say?
Yes, if you tell him that you're friends of Peleth, then he'll speak to you.
Peleth, I see.
He knows a little bit more about Alwyn and also the gangs in Sindarin, but I have managed to find out some things. He was mixed up in one called the Singing Skulls. Now, what I do know about them is that there was apparently some sort of smuggling spot that was in the caves and the little hills and mountains just outside of Hopewell. Again, it is an area that I have not yet had an opportunity to explore because, as I said, leaving the city under such circumstances is dangerous and it might well be guarded or trapped in some way, although my information that I have says that it is, at this point at least, not in use, but that doesn't mean that it's safe or that there isn't anything left in there. So, of course, if you were willing to go and check that out, anything you find would be yours to keep if you wish. I would only ask for a full inventory for my own notes, so I know what's there in order to prepare a better defense. But I shouldn't want to keep any of it myself.
That sounds very, very generous and very sensible as well, your ladyships, because I imagine it would potentially be quite dangerous, and it sounds like you've been, you know, taking significant personal risks already, and I'm very grateful. I'm sure Peleth is too.
She is a very, very lovely and sweet person, and out of everyone in this city, she deserves this sort of thing the least.
Yeah, the imminent execution she deserves the least, rather than the extraordinary amounts of help that you're offering her.
Yes, of course, the imminent execution
is... just to clarify, your ladyship, I do apologise.
She deserves what's happened to her the least out of everyone. She is one of the best people I have ever met.
Right, yes, I think I'm following.
I heard exactly the same way, Kitty.
I can't stand for injustice.
Absolutely. Very, very admirable. This Neutral Jing gentleman, what exactly is his business in Hopewell, if he's initially from Sindarin and familiar with a number of the gang issues of criminals?
I'm led to believe it was something to do with the smuggling, but previously he's no longer in that particular line of work. I believe he now does information gathering and dissemination.
Oh, right. Completely trustworthy and absolutely on the straight and narrow.
He has been paid rather large amounts of money, and of course I have had him thoroughly vetted.
By whom, if I may ask?
That information is not yet ready to be given out. We haven't yet earned that sort of relationship, you and I.
Oh, my apologies. Sorry, you were telling me all about the... of course, yes, I quite understand. And I look forward to our working together in future at a point where we will be able to share our respective information more freely. I'm babbling at this point. I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
She gives you a little look like she's not quite, like she was very sure of what she was saying, and then you suddenly said like she's now suddenly like not sure where exactly that conversation went.
I mean, she has just fucking told us that she's talked to people who are ex-criminals and been down to smugglers' caves and...
Oh yeah, oh yeah. She gives you like a little bit of a strange look and she goes, well, you know how to get in contact with me should you need any more invitations to see me. But I would, of course, request that you keep what we are actually talking about to yourselves. Perhaps we could come up with some sort of ruse for what you're actually here for. What do you work as? Are you in the exact same line of business as Peleth, or?
Not exactly. I'm currently between occupations. I have most recently earned my living primarily as a dressmaker.
Oh, that's quite useful. And what about you?
My business?
Yes.
It's the business of war.
Oh, an arms dealer of sorts?
That's correct.
I see.
I sell only the finest munitions.
Do you? I mean, yes.
Make me a deception check, please.
Do I get any advantage or anything? I don't know.
Why would you?
I always seem to. Let me check my, like, feats. I get advantage on deception and performance checks when trying to pass myself off as a different person.
There you go, then you do.
There I do. This is broken, but I'm going to do it.
Listen, you have one skill set, and it's this.
That is a 21.
Yeah, she looks at you, and then she looks kind of vaguely impressed, and she nods, and she says, well, that's very useful then. Perhaps if anybody asks... We are simply talking about outfitting my guards with new weaponry, and perhaps you and I are talking about fittings.
Yeah, absolutely. Works for me.
Didn't you have a third friend? I believe I sent out three invites. Who is this third person who didn't come today?
We did. She is currently doing research. She's particularly academically able, and she is looking into the legal issues surrounding the case, the paperwork stuff.
Then she should have been here. Out of both of you, she should have been here, it seems to me.
Unfortunately, she cannot be pried from her books. Not by mortal means, anyway.
I don't think we realised that you had quite so much paperwork relating to the case. That was one of the reasons why I was asking if perhaps we would be able to return at a later date. My apologies for our failure in that respect.
Well, it's quite all right. Just make sure that she does come next time, if she is quite so academically minded as you say.
Yep, totally. I wonder if I might ask you a question myself. I wonder if you are at all familiar with a gentleman called Sir Ralphus Morgaine?
I believe so. I've certainly heard the name in certain circles, yes.
Right, because he's somebody that lives in the upper circle, and I used to know him a little bit. And I was wondering if he might be somebody that I could approach for help in this matter.
I shouldn't think so. You can certainly try, but as I said, I would much prefer this to be kept between you and I. It's a dangerous business. She has been set up by somebody who has quite some means and ways of doing so. And I should not like myself nor her to be at risk. Right now, I believe she has been put there, or she has been chosen as the one to take the fall for this crime, quite because of her very nature. And if people were to find out that she was being helped and this were being looked into, I think it could reflect quite badly and very dangerously. After all, a house burned down in the upper circle and someone died.
But, like, any help is worth having, and I'd be grateful. I mean, I was planning to go and see him because, you know... he occasionally had appointments with Peleth himself, so...
Just keep my name out of it.
Of course, of course. I would not dream of mentioning your name, your ladyship.
But what you do with others is of no business of mine unless it is a direct threat to my life or my livelihood or that of Peleth's.
Right, no, it wouldn't be anything like that.
Then do as you will.
Okay.
Can I have been doing, like, insight checks as she's been talking?
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of things are you trying to... Were there anything in particular that you were trying to see? Like, is she lying?
I just want a general sense of, like, is she lying? Like,
okay,
is she trying to
She does seem hella shifty.
That's a nat 2.
Okay. She is hard to read.
Mm, yeah.
Yep. You are better at books than people, and yeah. also you are trying to memorize what feels like every legal document that ever was produced about this case, sometimes in triplicate,
zoom, at once.
Yeah. Tara, did you want to make an insight check? Did
yeah,
you say?
Why not? Yeah. Let me get one of those out.
Grab out a bit
That's
of insight.
That's a 9.
Oh, I should point out my 2 was a minus 1, so it's 1.
Oh, good.
Does that change things?
God.
Yes, and you didn't even look at her.
Cool.
This entire time. It's only afterwards that you're like, ah, fuck.
That's not very incisive of you, is it?
Yeah.
Now see what a real incisioner. Insight.
Got close to a word I don't think you wanted
incisor.
To say that, buddy.
What is a person who has incision? I'm tired.
Well, we've gone from teeth to surgeons.
What is an insight doer called?
Someone who's insightful.
I want one word.
Well, you might have to invent it.
I'm a sage.
Okay.
And I rolled a 9.
And you rolled a 9.
An insage.
Okay. insage. She is... You get the feeling that she is very defensive. This is something that she clearly feels very strongly about, but she is very used to keeping her metaphorical cards close to her chest. So she's trying to put up like walls and barriers, and she's trying to create distance even as she's kind of saying, hey, help.
Well, I get the feeling we're not super welcome anymore, so I guess we're leaving.
Okay. You will be shown out. You are shown out by the same member of staff who showed you in.
She keeps you busy, doesn't she?
I cannot remember this person's name, what they look like or what they sound like, so they just nod
Pispy
along.
Crispy Grim.
Yeah, sure. I can't remember. I didn't listen to this bit when I listened back to the episode. Didn't think it was going to be important. That's on me. So you are shown out of the house and back into the streets of the upper circle. And Nat, just make me one more stealth check, please, as you are leaving
boy.
The house. Mm.
Oh, that's all right. It's a 21.
Yeah, okay, you managed to... You're going to get in the hang of, like, sneaking out through closing doors after people at this point. You've got a little bit... You've got it going better.
Sneaking out, stealthy walk.
Yep, you're doing real good.
Can I ask, how long were we in there?
You were in there... Oh, you were in there 37 minutes in total.
So Nat's invisibility is about to wear off.
Yeah, because it also took you a little while to get there. So you're probably about 47 minutes into this hour. You've got like 10 to 13 minutes remaining.
Can we spend the next 10 to 13 minutes finding somewhere enclosed and discreet so that Nat can pop back into existence before she suddenly reappears in the middle of a road?
Absolutely. Are you leading this?
I don't know anywhere around here. So...
No, you don't. So make me a survival check, please.
Oh, okay. Not like investigation or anything?
Nope. Survival's for finding shit like this. It's for moving around in places and doing
shit. Survival on the streets of town.
I'm sorry, Nat. That's a 3.
A 3? Okay, so knowing that your spell is about to run out, Nerium kind of like gives you a little elbow and then starts leading you. And as you are led into streets that are getting more and more crowded and away from the gates. And you know where the gate was, Nat, because you have a keen fucking mind.
Okay.
But you are being kind of led towards the center, it feels like, off the upper circle. And you have maybe like a minute left of your spell. And you are not a minute from the gate that you came in at, and you're in a relatively bustling square.
Nerium, this feels like a mistake.
I thought we'd find a corner somewhere, and we haven't.
Do you say a bustling crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go to the thickest part of the crowd.
Okay.
And then kind of fall into somebody, deactivating the invisibility.
Okay, are you picking a particular type of person to fall into?
Someone with their back to me.
okay, yeah.
That's my favourite kind of person.
Basically, I'm trying to, like, meld into the back of a crowd and just, boom, and just be there.
Okay, so you make me a performance check, please.
Performance?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
A 20.
Oh, cool. Very good, Captain.
You stumble against somebody and, like, they turn to you and it's this this kind of beautiful orc woman and her hair is, like, all the way down her back. She's wearing this thick cloak and she kind of, like, steps forward half a step as you bump into her. She turns to look at you and she kind of like frowns a little bit, and she gives you like quite a clear like look up and down, looking for any signs of what you think would be like, you know, a marking of your house or anything like that. And she goes, "My apologies for the interruption. Please mind where you're going."
"Your apologies, acceptable."
"Ooh, I don't think I quite caught your name. I don't believe that we have met."
I run over to Nat and I go, "Oh, mistress, there you are. I'm so sorry. I've lost you in the crowd. We are late for our appointment."
"This is a very strange city. Very rude people. I didn't think this side of the planet would be all that."
"Oh, God.
Where do you come from, if not from here?"
"I use my keen mind to remember a name of a city on the other side of the planet."
"Okay. Make one up."
"I come from...
No.
I come from where?"
"I come from down to market.
Oh, milky more butter.
Where we have all apples and pears.
Tut lion, tut witch, and tut wardrobe.
It love to eat a lovely pie." Wow.
"I come from the turtle's beaver."
"Yeah, okay, all right, mate, okay."
"You got Gary."
"Fucking silly head."
I'm going to write it down, but I'm disappointed.
I feel like I don't get recognised enough for coming up with dope shit.
I know. I suddenly miss Ed. Gary, roll me a fucking deception check.
Oh, no. A 10.
No.
Oh, God.
A 10.
Can we get out of here before we get banned?
She puts her hand on your shoulder and her hand kind of like takes up almost the entirety of like your shoulder. And sort of like a little bit like down your back as she holds on, and she goes, "I don't believe I've ever heard of that. You have your entry pass and papers on you, don't you?"
Sleight of hand, I put mine in Nat's pocket.
Oh, roll me that fucking sleight of hand.
Wait, don't I already have
one? You don't have a stamped one. At disadvantage, please. You're trying to do this in the middle of a crowd that's now turning to look at what's going on.
I rolled a one, but I'm a halfling, so it's okay. 8, 13.
You slip something into her pocket, and as you kind of like are pulling your hand out, she reaches down with her other hand and she grabs your hand and she says, "I think maybe we'd better talk to the guards."
"Nah."
Oh my gosh.
"I don't think that's required. You don't need to take us to the guards." Roll me a wisdom save.
Love it.
Okay. I'm just going to take a straight roll here because I obviously didn't have a character sheet prepared. I'm not Matthew Mercer, so... Okay, well, I rolled a natural 6, so I think she's going to fail that one.
Sick.
Right. Well, she's going to follow what I said because this suggestion has taken place in her mind.
Oh.
Okay, what does this look like? Paint me this scene. She's got one hand on your shoulder. She's reached down with her other hand. She's grabbed Nerium's tiny little hand as she's tried to put her ticket into your pockets. There's like a crowd around you gathering. Taro has managed to take a few steps back to be like, out of this particular scene. What do you do? What happens in this moment?
You can't see much unless you're looking really carefully at Nat's right hand as she just sort of does that.
That's going to play so well on radio.
The Jedi mind trick,
okay.
Thing.
Not the droids you're looking for.
Yep, there's just that. Taro, you do feel, however, you feel that little flare of magic coming from Natalia as it happens because you are attuned to magic, so you do feel that. She kind of like pauses and she kind of blinks at you. There's like one like heavy slow blink, and then she like takes her hands back.
Oh, that means they like you.
She's not a tabaxi. She takes her hands back and she goes, "Well, I suggest you watch where you're going in future."
"I will."
And then she turns and she keeps walking.
Cape Swish walk away.
It's me, Yubi, your DM, here as always to say, hello? It's me, Welcome to the show. I'm not as good as Gary at these middle bits, I'll be honest. He's just incredible at these middle bits. I'm going to do my best, but it's not going to be a Gary middle bit, and I'm sorry about that. You are stuck with me this week, this fortnight, even. So, hello, welcome. If you have a moment, please consider dropping us an iTunes review. It really helps us out. It feeds those hungry, hungry algorithms, and it helps new people find our show, and we're very grateful for that. Also, when you tell people about us, when you tweet people about us, when you Tumble people about us, when you Facebook people about us, when you Snapchat people about us. I don't use Snapchat or Facebook. I've run out of social medias. But when you do that, and people check out our show, I'm very grateful, so thank you for everyone who does do that. You are wonderful, and I love you very much. Thank you very much. We also hope that you are enjoying Hopewell. It is certainly shaping up to be something, huh? It's good fun. I'm really, really enjoying running it. It is so, so much fun. I would also like to say, of course, a huge thank you to our transcripts crew, and a happy birthday to Orion, whose birthday it was yesterday, and to people whose names I know from the Discord, but not necessarily their real names, to Pirate I can't say this word. It's Archipelago. Stockings, happy birthday to you, and also a happy birthday to Mistborn, and of course to Faye. So happy birthday, all four of you, within like 2 days. That's very cool. Happy birthday. I also want to talk again about our new affiliate, The Secret Cat Shop, which you can find by just typing into the search engine of your choice, The Secret Cat Shop, all one word, .co.uk. They sell gorgeous, gorgeous dice, pins, t-shirts, and loads of other accessories. They've got original designs. They're also the creators of the D&D class pins, which are gorgeous. I, of course, have the Bard one on my bag. It's amazing. It's a wonderful UK shop. We're so pro supporting small businesses, and we'd really, really, really encourage you to check them out. We do have a discount code for them, amazingly. Our code is all one word, TheMortalPath10. So that's The Mortal Path in letters with capitals for The Mortal and Path, the TMP, and then 1010 stuck onto the end, TheMortalPath10 for 10% off. And if you want to give a little check out to their wares, why don't you join our competition? Because our prize for that is a set of handsome wizard dice and a special congratulatory message recorded from a character of your choice in the show. This fan-made competition is simple. You just create any piece of media that can be music, art, playlist, knitted dolls. It can be fanfic. It could be an interpretive dance. It could be some modern art. It could be some old art. It could be, well, not like old art, but like, you know, an old art style. It could be some origami. It could be anything. It's just got to have something to do with The Mortal Path, and you can post it on the social media of your choice. Make sure that the post is publicly viewable and that has the hashtag TheMortalPath, or one word, and either ping us, at us, tag us, some way to make sure that an official account has seen it and interacted with it to make sure that we have seen it and then entered it into the competition. If you're unsure as to whether or not we've seen it, email us a link at themortalpath@gmail.com so we can make sure that we do indeed put it into the competition. This was originally going to run until Valentine's Day of this year, 2020, but because I was away for 10 days and I didn't really have a chance to sort of tweet about this and so on, I have extended the deadline to the 21st, so y'all have got an extra week. You can enter multiple times, but each piece will be treated as a standalone entry, unless they are meant to be linked, like a set of playlists, and then we'll consider that a single entry. We have also amazingly hit our first goal on our Patreon, which was 10 supporters. We want to say a very, very special welcome to all of these wonderful people. So a huge thank you to Andy G, to Dixie Lovely, to Ella Coley, to Hannah Rose Ford, to Jennifer Martin, Katharina Sindelar, Marty Choderick, Rebecca Golding, Remy Cat, and Tyshul. a huge, huge, huge thank you for supporting our show. We are so grateful to you, and we are just, yeah, thank you so much. You're really helping us put money towards the hosting costs, towards the website costs, towards everything, and we're so grateful. So go and check out our Patreon if you haven't already. You get access to loads of behind-the-scenes content. We update every week with a new thing. There's content from all four of us. So go and check it out. There's all sorts of different stuff there, and it's always really, really, really cool. So with all of that being said, I will leave you to get back to the show. We hope that you enjoy it. It's got a wild ending.
Okay, well done for getting us out of that. Holy fuck. You was in the room, you heard everything that happened, weren't you?
Yes, and I saw everything you placed on the table. Thank you for that.
That's, hey, no problem. Now, does the singing skulls mean anything to you?
Yes, it does. And I've also remembered there's nothing in this spell that says when it ends she will remember it.
Oh, good. So we're in the clear on that one then as well.
I think your friend got caught up in a gang hit.
Well, Pele?
Yes, because I think Lady Belva's death was a message to her son.
Oh, well, I was going to say as well, because Avalir was talking about how he was mixed up with a dozen. And then Alwyn is... That's going to get confusing. Alwyn's mixed up with the Singing Skulls. I mean, what's the relationship between those two? Or what was it 26 years ago?
26 years ago? The dozen were so much more powerful than the Singing Skulls. It would very much surprise me if they're... Well, I don't know, it's been 26 years.
Yeah, we don't know, do
they're
we?
They're in completely different leagues.
Well, because my thought is, if Alwyn was working with the Singing Skulls, and yet it was Avalir who set Peleth up to take the fall. So Avalir must have been something to do. So maybe it's the dozen trying to send a message to the Singing Skulls. And that would track with the position that they was in originally.
Either the dozen have changed a lot over the last quarter century, which is possible. But I don't think Avalir is the kind the dozen would suffer lightly. I think the dozen are being used as a... If they are at play, they're being used as a way for other gangs not to investigate. Because one does not challenge the dozen.
Oh, right. Right. God. This is way too complicated for me. My brain ain't working on this at all. While we're here, suggestion, I would quite like to go and look in on Ralphus, just in case.
Yeah, me and Nat had a thing to do.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't you? What was that all about?
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it, probably. Nat, what are we doing? Oh, we're stealing something. Yeah, see you later.
We're casing a joint.
Yeah.
Do you even know where you're going?
Oh yes, I found this. I pull out the flyer.
So Nat pulls out this flyer. It's a beautiful, beautiful flyer. And it is for an opera called The Wire Song. And it is all about, from what you can tell from the reviews that are scattered over it and the little bit of blurb, it is some sort of epic tale from Tundraska of the rise of technology that they had over there and then the fall of society. And this kind of, you know, big, big production with the beautiful drawing of the necklace on it and an address for both the house, which... everyone knows where that is, but also the address of a art gallery that is looking around. It's got like a little map on the flyer, and looking around, you do spot a street name that is on the edges of the map, so not too far from where you currently are.
Now, where did this come from?
Ooh, I might have acquired it.
Now, don't you have a like super good memory?
Yeah, but then she couldn't prove it to
you
us.
You know,
so
it's... It's been a few weeks. I can't remember if I actually took it or if I just remembered it.
It's right there. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, you do seem to be holding it.
I think you took it.
I'm sure she won't notice.
It's a flyer. Like, she's a collector of flyers.
Yeah, she won't notice.
Yeah, but she seems pretty hot on, like... Anyway,
Ephemera.
It's fine. Well, not ephemera, just like, you know, keeping a track of all these details. I mean, you looked at the paperwork and the kind of files that she's holding on this stuff.
And that handwriting.
And the handwriting. Poof, the handwriting. Did you see it? It was like a printing press.
What? Oh, the thing. I thought it was printed. Because how the letters were all like the same in that.
I think it's just very regular handwriting.
Oh, that's really impressive, actually. It's a really impressive job. I'm really good with, you know, manual dexterity and that, but I don't think I could write handwriting that good.
Same here, Taro, same here.
There are machines in Centaurion that could do that.
Really? Machines?
But, yeah.
I've heard of such things.
That's incredible. Maybe we should go there later and have a look at the machines and see.
Well, I'm feeling like Centaurion might need a visit at some point anyway, but like, maybe not right now. If we could possibly get my mate off death row first, I'd be grateful.
And also do this. We're going to the gallery. Let's go.
I think I might not join you, but I'll meet you back at the cat or something.
Again, I don't think you were going to get paid, so...
What?
What I mean is that you...
It was just as contracted.
Yeah, I don't think you're in on the deal.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Here, nice that Lady Brooke wants to actually pay us to help her do something that I was going to do anyway.
Did she
That's nice.
Say she was going to pay us? Did she just say we could steal stuff from a cave?
Well, she said both, from what I can make out. She said, of course I'll pay you. And then she said, we get to lift whatever we want out of the smugglers' caves.
To be fair, that's not really her decision to make. Like, that's...
I don't see it's anyone's but ours.
Well, exactly. It's a cave. I can't just be like, hey, go and take whatever you want from this house. It's not just... It's.
But what she means is she's not expecting to see a cut.
I'm glad that she is sensible enough to not think that, too.
Yeah. Nat?
Yes?
Can I have my... pass back?
Oh, of course. Here you go.
Because you've at least got one between the two of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've got a couple ideas. I would need to take an hour long rest before I could go invisible again. But I've got a plan in case we don't have that time.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm planning to go and see Ralphus, and then, I don't know, I'll drop you a call on the psychic WhatsApp or just meet you back at the cat.
Yeah, see you later. We'll be fine.
All right, bye. Scamper, scamper, scamper.
Okay, so Nerium heads off in the direction of Ralphus Morgaine. Natalia and Taro, you are standing in the upper circle. You can tell from the map of the flyer that the gallery is not too far away. What are you doing?
Well, let's go check it out then, I guess. Let's case the joint, as you say.
Is there an alley somewhere?
Absolutely not. These are so spaced out. They're so well lit, so well guarded.
Is there a column?
For what?
An arch?
You're trying to find a nook, mate.
A nook. I'm trying to find a nook.
You're on the look for a nook.
It's a little bit unnooked, this place. It looks like it's been deliberately designed.
Okay.
So to be nookless.
To be nookless and... to discourage nefariousness in various nooks.
Nary a cranny nor an alcove.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, that's an NPC. Various nefarious nooks.
It's certainly at least a stage name. So, you...
And his cousin Tom.
Okay, so... not so much. Not here, at least.
Okay, we walk over to the place.
Okay. So you make your way over to this gallery. It is very, very, very beautiful on the outside. The architecture is something to behold. To behold. The architecture.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I speeched again. I apologize.
That was my brain. It went behold. And I was like, no, one word. But it was too late.
Be
I stopped the gap.
Looked at.
Yeah, it's something to behold. It is very, let's say, Notre Dame-esque Gothic style, which does stand out a little bit, but there's lots of like tall poplar trees around it. There's like gardens.
So like burned down?
So it's kind of that sort of, you know, what we would call French Gothic architecture type.
Frothic.
Yeah, sure. And there's like gardens around it that have like beautiful flower beds and trees with blossoms and big kind of like stained glass windows, and it is double doors that lead into it and both are wide open. It's clearly open for the public and for business.
As I go past the tree, I keep Taro on one side and just like do a tight circuit around the tree and cast Disguise Self on myself.
Okay.
Just
literally to wear something fancier, because I'm aware I'm still wearing servant's clothes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so you, what does your outfit look like? What is fancier to Nat?
I'm wearing a frock similar to that worn by the orc who I fell into.
Yeah, very cool.
Wow, you stole her fit.
Yeah.
You look lovely. And make me a, it's your choice. You can either make me a stealth check or a performance check. I'll let you go with either of those two.
Oh no.
What's my name?
Oh no, Nat.
One.
No.
Oh no, Nat.
Sick.
Woof.
Everyone is messing with my plans.
Boy, okay. What does this mean in this situation? Gary, you tell me, what does this Nat 1 look like? What happens?
Oh,
like,
okay.
What is the thing, first of all, is that you're a fellow player, you're a DM. What does this Nat 1 disguise self stealth look like? You obviously, the spell works. Mm-hmm. It obviously works as you want, but it's the stealth that you Nat 1.
So we start walking around the tree, and like, Tara, just do a circle, just very quick around the tree. And then I start doing my disguise self, and I'm imagining like there's a like a ripple in my clothes going down from like my shoulders all the way down, and it gets to like my waist, and I look up and there's the gardener or someone just raking leaves looking in shock as this finishes.
I think that is exactly it, because when you went around that tree that first circle, you couldn't see where some of like the hedgerows ended. And as you continue around the tree and the rippling is happening, you look over and you make eye contact with this gardener who is, you know, like a gardener, but still like in very kind of like fine clothing, a lovely uniform, who is looking at you wide eyed and who immediately picks up their rake and just starts bolting through the gardens off in another direction.
Oh, no.
Nat, do we have to kill this guy?
I really don't think that's quite the... Oh, we... No, no, I really don't...
He does seem to be getting away.
Let's split up. Oh, God.
Okay,
yes,
see ya.
Let's split up. You case the joint. I'll escape.
Bye, then, I guess.
Okay. Great. Cool. All right. So, Nat, what... You run off?
Where off? I head towards the nearest wall.
Okay.
As in, exterior wall.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep. I thought you just meant like...
Do I get there okay?
Let's see if you do, actually. I rolled a nat one, buddy. So I think...
Okay.
I think what happens is you start walking and you get sort of 50 so meters, 100 meters from the art gallery, and you're walking fast, and you notice that there are some guards kind of like walking towards you, and you start walking a little bit faster, and what you do feel suddenly is kind of like almost like a sonar kind of ping of magic around you, and you see a couple of the guards who are town guard types, not in house liveries, kind of hold their hands up to their helmets, almost as if like they're listening to something, and then they look straight at you, and they like are making a beeline towards you.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
How tall is the wall?
The wall is canonically 15 to 20 feet, because we discussed that with Taro, and it's a big fucking wall.
Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep holding.
Have you got a spell slot left for levitating?
Oh my god.
You might start making me an initiative roll at this point,
nope.
Buddy.
We good.
Okay.
Did you say 15 to 20 feet?
15 to 20 feet.
Okay. Is there a bit where it's 15 feet?
Sure.
Okay. Cool.
A freebie.
Cool.
I'll give you this one, Matt.
I run towards the wall.
Okay.
As I do,
I
cast upon myself jump.
That classic D&D spell that everyone knows to bring, just the spell of all spells.
Yes.
Jump.
I cast jump.
What does jump do?
Take a fucking guess.
Jump triples my jump height.
Yeah.
Now, jump height.
And of course, we all know the algorithm for D&D 5th Ed for working out your jump height.
Your jump height is 3 plus your strength modifier.
Yep.
If you take a running start. Yeah. Now, my strength modifier is 2. So that gets me 5 feet times, you'll remember, 3, which brings me to 15 feet.
That's number Wang. That checks out.
I jump the fucking wall.
Yeah, you do. You start like running, and as you start, your feet start kind of running, and you're looking at this wall and the spell that you have practiced in your bedroom, which I guess led to like a pure bonk on the head when you tried that one out the first time, canonically. You start running towards this wall, and as you are running, you feel that magic kind of ripple out, and as you boing, and you vertical leap practically 15 foot into the air.
15 foot vertical leap.
You do hear from behind you one of the main guards go, "Oh fuck that!" And then you feel again this kind of ripple of like magic, this like sonar, like bing 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 of magic, of like some kind of alert or alarm or something going off. But you sail over that wall. I would like you to roll me a d4, please.
A d4?
Yes, please.
A 1.
Oh my god! Can we roll something other than 1 at some point?
That sounds good.
I'm using this map that I drew, the very good balls map of Hopewell, with the compass. So you have actually...
It's got all the best balls of Hopewell.
It's got the best balls of Hopewell in it, and you do a 15-foot vertical leap over the wall into the fields and grassy areas to the north of Hopewell, which would be this big kind of wastelandy bit up here at the top. So you're not in the lower lanes, you're not in General Hopewell, you're just in the countryside suddenly.
Oh, gamer.
In your fancy gear and your vertical leaping. Taro and Nerium, you do both kind of feel this weird little like, almost like wind chime feeling of magic at the very edges of your corners. Just this little like ding ding. Ding, ding. Just something that's like, oh, someone is casting magic. And that does strike you because it has been quite a while since you felt anyone other than the three of you doing any sort of magic. And it's very faint, it's quite far away. We're going to skip to Taro, who is still entering the, what's it called? The art gallery.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm wondering. I'm confused because this is a low magic world.
Bring, bring. Taro, I've caused the distraction for you.
I'm going into the gallery. I'm going in for a look around. A look-see.
It's very beautiful. Lots of huge ceilings, open corridors, some really beautiful pieces of art, sculpture, textile work from all over. You see a little section about Jural that seems to have textiles, fabrics, couple of like... There's a little model village or a model of one of the villages of near Jural actually on display. And there's also some beautiful paintings that tell of the siblings of Jural, the origin stories. It's very lovely. What sort of things are you looking at? There's quite a few people, quite a few attendants, mix of public and guards there.
I guess I'll just do it. I'll do a wander around. I'm gonna look for the jewelry section, if that's how a gallery works.
So the gallery is split into things like, you know, like art that is jewelry and art that is various things, but what you do find quite quickly are some signs that are leading you to the Tundraska exhibit. And it's up this like lovely sweeping flight of stairs, and it's clearly like the main exhibit hall has been given over to this. And as you walk in, all of these huge windows in this room have been opened to kind of like let in this kind of breeze. And there's like these bits of ice sculptures and things. So it's kind of cold in there. You walk in and you feel like a little shiver. It's kind of, you know, giving you the atmosphere. And there is even a like replica of one of the houses with where they join together in Tundraska to create these like big communal settlements, and it's smaller than it would actually be, but there's like little signs saying how it would work, and there's little sculptures, and you see right in the middle, in kind of the most, you know, like heist film thing, is a podium with a glass kind of case on it, and in there on this kind of like mannequin head is this gorgeous, gorgeous necklace. But the thing that really, really, really strikes you, Taro, as you walk into this room, is that that necklace is practically singing with magic.